The following contains language of a frank and explicit nature. Discretion is advised.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Sablighi.
The two of you were under restraining orders to stay away from each other.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Well, you're going to get it now.
Sports Saturday is powered in part by Green City Garage, an environmentally responsible garage in South Burlington, working on all makes and models, specializing in your family's car, truck, or SUV. Top Hat Entertainment, helping you with all your party needs from DJs to inflatables. They have it all. Vermont Mortgage Company, mortgage expertise dedicated to Vermonters. See how easy obtaining the right mortgage can be. And Romanto's Pizza, delivering within a 10-mile radius of Taft Corners.
Taft Corners is in Williston.
Try them for your next wing order, too. 879-1000.
You need to start throwing bombs, baby!
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Living the dream, baby, living the dream.
We are living the dream, and we're taking you with us. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Good morning. I'm your host, Jeff Paul. Bernie Sablighi is on location this afternoon. We're going to talk to him live today later on, second half of the show, as he is in Kentucky. He's going to be calling the game for the radio station here as the UVM men's basketball team invades Rupp Arena tomorrow to take on John Calipari and his Wildcats. So Jake Kent filling in this morning. Good morning, pal.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm a little raspy this morning. I'm just not feeling winter. I don't know how you feel. No, I'm never feeling winter. I'm not over last winter. I'm still trying to get over that snowstorm we had back in March. And now all of a sudden I wake up this morning and boom, we've got winter here. So I'm not feeling that.
It's cold.
It's very cold.
22 degrees.
It was 22. It felt like 4 degrees yesterday. Yesterday with the wind is what was brutal.
Brutal.
And I love this time of year, right? It's fall. We have a great college football slate. Thanksgiving's on the way. I'm excited. I like this time of year. Wasn't as excited for a just unreal wind yesterday and bitter, like 4 degrees.
Yeah, how old are you?
I am 30, turning 31 December.
You're 31. Okay, see, when you get to be my age, when you turn like in your early 40s like me, I know I probably look like I'm in my early 20s.
Right?
Is that where you're going with that? As soon as I don't care about Thanksgiving. I mean, look, you like the turkey. The holidays are fine. I don't want the cold weather. I'm fed up with the cold weather. I don't like the cold wind. I don't like the fact that I went out this morning, this very heavy sweater I thought was plenty.
Yeah.
And I went to get the mail this morning and it was freezing. I had to wear a toque this morning, David, because, you know, my head was cold.
I
hate it. Can't take it.
It's a tough place to live and not like the cold.
Well, I totally agree, but this is where I am. So I have to deal with it. The other thing is I'm not going to believe any more weather, like long-range forecasts.
No.
You know, they come out and they tell you, they tell you every year it's going to be a big snowy winter.
Every year.
Everybody on social media gets fired up.
They're
posting things up. We're going to have all this snow. Then nothing happens.
Just cold.
And what made me more angry was we were supposed to get this really hot and humid summer, and that didn't show up until October.
That's right.
I'm done. I'm going to watch the weather week to week, and we'll see how it goes from there.
You can do. 10 days.
That's right. 655-6672 is the number to call if you want to join the conversation all day long today. We're here for 2 hours, 802-655-6672. You can call us. Or the cool thing here, you can join us on the Town Fair Tire text line. You can text us at 802-655-6672. So if you want to call us, give us a buzz. If you don't want to call us, you can text us. Texas on the Town Fair Tire text line. Pretty cool stuff. We have a great show, and we have a lot of guests this week. We're going to start at 10:20. We've got national college football writer for Sporting News, Bill Bender. He's going to join us. There are so many games today, Jake, that have so many implications for this big playoff
we have
in January.
Yeah.
It's a huge weekend. Notre Dame, Miami, Georgia, Auburn, Iowa, Wisconsin, Alabama, Mississippi State are just four of the big games. It'll be fun to talk to Bill about what he can expect from those games today.
Yeah, I look forward to it. I mean, like you said, massive games today. Auburn, Georgia is what has my interest the most. Very much look forward to that. I think last night Washington goes down. I think the SEC is getting two teams, which I'm okay with.
How can the SEC get two teams? I mean, that's the most overrated conference in the country.
I'm sick of the SEC. I understand, but Alabama, Auburn, Georgia all showing up this year while the Pac-12 does nothing, right? So it's not there. It's really the fault of the Pac-12 because Washington blew it last night yet again with Stanford knocking them off. I think it's going to end up happening unless the SEC championship game's a blowout. Like, if you get, say, Georgia-Alabama, and Alabama runs the table 50-7, they won't put two teams in. But if it goes, a three-point game into the 40s with two SEC teams. I think that's what's going to end up happening.
Well, the game,
I can see it.
The game I'm most intrigued with is Notre Dame-Miami. I think it's very interesting what the Irish have been able to accomplish this season. And we'll talk later about that, and we'll get into that with Bill. But that's a game that I'm really looking forward to. At 10:40, we're going to talk to, we got Austin Danforth and Alex Abrahami in a car right now driving to Rutland City.
All right.
Okay, I don't know if you're following this or not, but today we're going to know all three division champions. We're going to know all the champions for high school football.
Yeah.
It's very neat. At Rutland's alumni field down in Rutland starting at 11 o'clock this morning. We've got the Division III championship with Windsor and Woodstock. The Division II game is at 2 o'clock with Fairhaven and Bellows Falls. And then at 5 o'clock, we've got St. Johnsbury and Hartford. And Austin and Alex are driving down. It's always a lot of fun when we get those two guys, those two personalities together in a car. It's always
great.
A lot of fun. We're going to have them preview those games for us at 10:40. We're going to do your segment earlier this week, Jake, because we got the second half. We got all kinds of guests. So we're going to do some fantasy football talk with you, Jake Kent, starting at 11 o'clock.
Sounds good.
Right after Dave's Sports Center, which, again, it's always a lot of fun to have him read our Sports Centers here on Sports Saturday.
It's a masterpiece.
We love that.
Yeah.
It's the pregame of the Sports Center that I like the most myself, but that's just me. And then at 11:20, Bernie is going to join us live from down in Kentucky. So listen, this is a huge game.
Fascinating.
It is. That's a good word for it because, listen, if you don't know, now you're going to know. On ESPN2, it's going to be on TV too. UVM is in Kentucky right now. They're getting ready to take on the Kentucky Wildcats at Rupp Arena. Huge game just for the program in terms of UVM, but a UVM team with a lot of expectation this year. And I got to tell you, this team can play. They are big, they are strong, they are fast, they are deep. I would say they have to be looked at least preseason, as one of the top mid-major teams in the country.
For sure. Yeah.
They're getting ready to take on a very young Kentucky team at Rupp Arena. It's going to be a lot of fun to see what this team can do, and Bernie's going to be with them. He's going to be calling it for the station. He will be on the radio tomorrow starting at 3 o'clock, but we're going to talk to Bernie at 11:20.
I can't wait for this, and I don't know if you saw this last night, but Kentucky kicking off some of their games last night. Down at the half, to who? Utah Valley Wolverines.
Yeah.
And it took an 18-0 run in the second half. They shot over 60% in the second half for Kentucky just to get a 10-point win. So they needed an 18-0 run against a nobody team who's not even close to the level of UVM to just get a 10-point win. I don't know if that's good or bad for UVM because it might have been a wake-up call for Kentucky just last night, but I think it points to what we think is going to be a very close game being exactly that.
Yeah, and I think UVM, and again, I don't care what they do. For me, whether they win or lose, I just want to see how they compete. And I think that when you look at this team, it's going to be a great early season test for John Becker's team. You know, they're going to go on the road. And you got to walk into Rupp Arena. I mean, just think about
it's
that for
cool.
a second.
Yeah.
You're playing, and this is why we have Coach on a lot, and that was the question we asked him last week, is, you know, going into these venues, and you're looking across the thing, and there's John Calipari you're coaching against. I mean, it's a rush, but this Vermont team is very seasoned. They've been there, done that. It'll be a lot of fun, and it's going to be fun to talk to Bernie, who's in with the team right now down in Kentucky. We'll talk to him at 11:20. And then finally at 11:40, I had mentioned the Notre Dame-Miami game. We're going to talk to the South Bend Tribune's Notre Dame insider, Tyler James. He's going to join us from Miami.
All right.
As the Notre Dame Fighting Irish, if you can believe it, going into this season, ranked number 3 in the country are hanging around. They are right in the middle of the playoffs. If the playoffs start today, they'd be the 3 seed in this playoff, are taking an undefeated Miami team. It's for college football, I think it's cool because this is a Miami Notre Dame rivalry, which was humongous back in the 80s and early 90s. You got a Miami team that's undefeated and a team that wants to crash this party as well. An Irish team that has really proved some doubters wrong. It's going to be a lot of fun to talk to Tyler to see what he thinks his Irish have going into this game tonight.
Miami thinks they have a chance, right? They think if they can knock off Notre Dame, they get to the ACC championship.
Well, they're undefeated.
Right, so if they knock off Notre Dame, they get to the ACC championship game, presumably against Clemson. They win that game. They have a real argument to be in. I think that would probably seal it for them just about. So it could be fantastic.
I totally agree. But again, I think that's why we talk to Bill next segment. It's going to be a lot of fun to get his perspective because, I didn't even mention the Oklahoma TCU game, which is today
as well.
Another big game that's out there. So there's just I can't think of a college football week where we've had so many huge games going into one weekend. I mean, there's 5 or 6 games that are being played today. Another game that's intriguing to me is the Alabama game with all the injuries Alabama has on the defensive side of the ball.
Right.
Going against a very high-powered offense in Mississippi State. It's going to be interesting to see how Alabama plays. But every time you think Alabama might stumble,
it's not typically the time.
That's not the time.
They've been blowing this team out for a couple years now. And despite the fact they've lost 4 or 5 linebackers, this team plays a lot of nickel. You're going to see them come out with 5 cornerbacks a lot in this game. And they've been winning this game by 20, 30 points the last few meetings. I can't imagine that even losing 4 linebackers, there's a 30-point differential. But it's still a big game. It's a huge game.
Oh, it's a huge game. It means so much to everything. And that's why college football – this is where my argument comes in with college football is that – you know, and I've had this debate. I have this debate with people I know, and I've had this debate with Bernie. I mean, you love the game. If your team is in it, that's great. But if you lose a game or two, like look at Ohio State,
right.
Out, it's over. It's all over. Michigan, out, over.
Done.
Wisconsin's undefeated. You know, I mean, and they're, you know, if they were to lose to Iowa today, it's over with one loss.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
I mean, and truth be told, if your team isn't really isn't in a position to win a championship, then who cares? Unless you're like some vested alumni
there, right?
Or your
if you
kid
live
there.
On campus.
But
I
nationally, you're talking about nationally, like, you know, sure. we pump these games up, and I don't know what's different now. I don't know if those bowl games meant more when I was a kid. I just remember the Rose Bowl meaning so much and the Orange Bowl meaning so much and these games meaning so much. Right now, if you're not in a position to win a national championship, it's like, what's the point?
Yeah, I mean, we've become very, I say this almost every time I'm on, I think, but we've become so champion-centric as a society. That's all we care about. So that's part of it.
But you want to compete for something. But you want to compete for something big.
But I remember the Orange Bowl being huge. That meant something.
But
the Rose Bowl being huge.
But don't you think,
it's watered down now.
But it is. I mean, and again, I don't know. And I've always said, everyone that listens to me knows, and I'm no bright guy here. But, you know, I look at the NCAA basketball tournament, and you just want to get in. You get in, you have a
Correct.
Chance. Doesn't matter if you're a 16 seed.
Totally.
Doesn't matter if you're a 1 seed. You just want to get in and give yourself a chance to win a champ. You give yourself a chance.
Sure.
If there was a way to put 30 football teams in a tournament,
right?
And we have bowls that start like tomorrow, don't they? I mean, we have bowl games that start right
there
after.
Are
I mean,
so many.
They
yeah.
start right after Thanksgiving. You know, if you started to be able to put together some kind of where it's a week to week thing, and you know that you have these, you have I don't know what the number is, where you could put 16 teams in it,
sure,
and be able to have a real playoff with the top 16 teams in the country. Wow, would that be something? I can't imagine the ratings that they would have. Number one,
sure,
the money that it would create if you had a tournament that's 16 teams, and you had this round robin. Now I get the thing where it's a lot of football, you're playing a lot all
sure.
the time, but. I don't know. I if your team's out, it's like, okay, it's over. You lose one or two games. Like, you can't tell me that Ohio State, we'll use them as an example,
yeah,
had that unbelievable or Penn State's another good
one. Yeah.
Either one of those teams. Both of those teams, tough losses. I mean, Penn State blows the game at Ohio State, but use Ohio State as an example. They come all the way back against Penn State. Everyone's
sure.
talking about Ohio State. They go on the road and play Iowa, and Iowa blasts them. Now the season's basically over.
Yep.
I mean, they're just playing.
They'll be in some bowl we don't watch. Right,
exactly. Or you'll watch just because it's Ohio State. But now, basically, for all intents and purposes, the championship opportunity is over with
right.
two losses.
Yep.
I mean, think about that. With two losses, it boggles my mind that's over with. And it's just, to me, it's too bad because I would like to see a situation where you have as many teams as possible in it, and if it's physically possible to do it, do it. Because, I mean, truth be told, I would watch these. Can you imagine the intensity of watching, say, pick a bowl in the first week of December that would determine who goes on to the next bowl to play in the next round? I mean, how amazing would that be?
I think it would be fantastic. You know, in the NCAA tournament basketball, I mean, it takes a month anyway, right? Like, everyone's like, oh, there's
exactly.
not enough time to
yeah.
play football. Well, we take a month anyhow. So let's take Thanksgiving till New Year's Day.
Done.
Let's set up a
well, how about this?
I
don't mean to interrupt
works.
You.
No,
but,
go,
how about,
yeah.
but how about this? You don't play a national championship game until the week after New Year's.
Right.
What's that? Like, no, that's like January 8th
yeah,
or 9th.
It's like a 40-day break.
It is.
Yeah.
So you have, so that, and that's the other thing. Like, this. When it used to be the old days when it was just a computer picked and there was two teams,
sure.
these teams wouldn't practice. They'd practice for a month and a half before this game would be played. How great would it be if you had a real tournament week to week?
Yeah.
Oh, my God, that would be unbelievable.
I know one of the arguments against it is, well, all the money that's wrapped up in bowl games, right? But this is very simple to me. If it's 16 teams, you can still sponsor each game. You can still call it whatever bowl you want to call it.
Of course.
And I think there are 16 legitimate teams I would like to see. I mean, that gets you into the Mississippi State
sure.
range. Who's playing Alabama
sure.
today.
Sure.
You'd include USC.
Yeah.
Iowa would get in. These are good teams.
Washington.
Auburn, Clemson, Washington.
Yeah.
All these teams are teams
yeah.
I would watch.
That's what I mean.
And I think that...
Jake Kent, you would watch these games if it was Youngstown State in North Dakota State.
It's
if,
a
it
good
meant,
point.
If it meant something to... I mean, you'd root for those teams. We love Cinderella's, right?
Yes,
we Cinderella
do.
Stories.
The Cinderella story,
I mean,
really.
Yeah. Everybody still goes... I mean, I know we live here, but the UVM went over Syracuse. You remember that. I remember
oh, sure.
I remember number 15 Richmond beating Syracuse
yeah.
in 1990-something.
Sure.
You
yeah.
remember those games.
Of course.
We love Cinderella. We don't have any Cinderellas here in college football.
No.
Cinderellas get screwed in college football because you can be undefeated. Like, Wisconsin really could be the odd man out in this whole playoff, and they could be undefeated.
It comes down to the question this. This is the question it boils down to for me, though. Do you want the best football team to win the national championship, which I think traditionally we have wanted, or do you want the team who figures it out the tournament to do it, right? So there's an argument to be made that the best team doesn't always win the NCAA tournament. Now, generally, it shakes out where the number one team, you got a real chance. It's, you know, you'll have Villanova will win the tournament. But in the years where a 6-seed UConn or a 9-seed UConn or whatever they were a few years ago when they won, people say, well, they weren't the best team. They just got hot and won the tournament.
How do you know that? How are they? Maybe they are the best team.
They won the right games. Right? Well, it has to do with your path to victory. There's all these sort of parameters around winning that championship. You might have better matchups. They might be better suited for your particular path. Might be more friendly than someone else's. It gets you through further.
God, give me a break. Give me a playoff. I want a playoff.
You. I hear you. I'm with you.
I don't care if it's the best team wins or not. The best team's going to win. They got to win it. You don't just run through like, oh, I can go on to this.
I tend to agree. The counter argument is that it devalues the regular season, right? The regular season leads us to who's the best. We see this in baseball. After 162 games, we know who the best team is. They don't always win the World Series.
Yep.
Because now you've taken 162 game sample size and you go to best of five, best of seven.
Yeah, I got to tell you, man, I understand where you're coming from here, but there's nothing better in any sport than the NCAA basketball tournament.
I totally agree.
That in has a shot. That's what makes the playoffs so special. If college football added 16 teams, I'd be all in. All right,
me too.
You know, there's no one better to talk to this than Bill Bender from the Sporting News, and we're going to do that when we get back.
Here, the Patriots, the Red Sox, and the Bruins. The Champlain Valley's 101.3 ESPN.
Phone call. Monica from Williston.
I don't think I could have married Don Hoffman. And would it hurt for you to say that you love me once in a while?
Getting you ready for game day. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
That's my wife right now. She wants to go down. It's great. Good morning, it's Sports Saturday. I'm kind of fired up today, man.
All right.
I gotta tell you, I was in my restaurant this morning, and my staff was pumping the Limp Bizkit in there. That's the stuff when I was actually like really working out back in mid-20s. Like that stuff would get you going.
Early 2000s?
Yeah, you know, just jumping around.
Wait till you get older. Limp Bizkit has a whole new meaning.
Yeah, I cannot. David, here we go. Exactly. There it is. There he is. The Dave Hunter moment.
There's a little friction last week around sort of that.
Yeah, he's over the top all the time. Right. He's annoying. It's embarrassing. Anyway,
the ratings in the show are great.
Yeah, you and I will keep it high.
We'll keep it real. All right, hey, listen, we've been talking college football last segment. Yeah. You know, it's exciting day today, and who better to talk to than our good friend from the Sporting News, a national college football writer, Bill Bender, joins us live here on the TikTok Jewish guest line. Good morning, Bill.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good. What's going on today? Big day for college football, huh? This must be an exciting day for you today.
Yeah, I'm down in Miami, so that's always exciting when you live in Ohio.
Awesome.
And it should be a fun game tonight. Obviously, there's three top 10 showdowns, and it's a huge day. And we already got the first shakeup last night with Stanford beating Washington, so I think there's more to come. We might be opening a little bit of a two-loss chaos for the college football playoff today.
Yeah, Bill, let's talk about, before we get into some of these games today, like, what is your biggest surprise this season? I mean, I think for me, one of them has got to be Notre Dame.
Oh, yeah, that's a really good one. I mean, they have really flipped the program around. I think Michigan State's another one. Those were two programs that combined for a 7-17 record last year, and now they're both, one could play for a national championship, the other could represent the Big Ten East, which also features three other pretty good schools. So I think those are two of the amazing turnarounds of the year. Mark D'Antonio is less surprising, I think, just because they're always in close games. But the way Brian Kelly has turned them into a run-heavy physical football team has been one of the biggest stories of the year. You're absolutely right.
With some of the chaos that's been going on with this season and some of the teams that have turned things around, as we look at moving forward, you mentioned two lost teams. Who is the two lost team who has the most to gain today? I mean, is it Michigan State? Is it Iowa? Is it Oklahoma State? Where do you see today shaking out? And who has the best two lost team moving forward that has a real chance here?
I mean, Auburn has the best opportunity of the schedule in front of them. You know, they play Georgia and Alabama at home, and they still can win the SEC West. So I think they're one. I think Ohio State and Michigan State, the winner there, because, that Big Ten division, there's four really good programs in one division, and Wisconsin's not getting any respect as an undefeated school. So I think that's an opportunity for all of those two-loss teams. I mean, Penn State's in trouble because they lost two games, and Michigan the same. But any one of those four schools has an opportunity over the next few weeks.
Alabama and Mississippi State played today. Alabama's really banged up. Does Mississippi State have a shot at this game?
I mean, yeah, if Alabama doesn't adjust, I'm still not buying the upset because I think Alabama will do enough on the other end to win the game. It could get wild for a little bit, but, I mean, we'll see. I mean, that's what you got to watch the first quarter and a half is how Alabama's linebackers adjust to not having Sean John Hamilton around. And, you know, they've lost, it seems like, five or six linebackers, but if there's any school that can withstand that, it's somebody with the four- and five-star talent they have accumulated like Alabama.
Bill, Jake and I were talking earlier before we were kind of pumping up your segment with you, and we were talking about what I would love personally, and Jake agrees with me, which is always fun when somebody agrees with me, because most of the time when Bernie's here, Jake, nobody agrees with me.
True.
Okay? It's just me by myself here. But, I'm a huge fan of the college basketball setting, the way we have all those teams that come together for that tournament. What's your take on, obviously, now we've got a bunch of teams now that have a playoff, but how special would it be for college football if there was a 16-team tournament? You know, and these two lost teams and, you know, could get into these things because you feel like now you lose one or two games in your season, especially if you're a power cut team and you're a team that's trying to win a national championship, it's basically over if you lose a game or two. I mean, if you look at Miami Notre Dame tonight, one of those teams, whatever team loses today is pretty much out.
Well, that's why it's such a good game, though.
No, I agree.
Because it's late November. I mean, if this was just Miami Notre Dame for 7 and 11 seed, that's no fun. I mean, that's... I think 16 would be too many. I'm open to 8 just because, and 3 years ago I wasn't even open to that. I think if you did 8 teams, you could get all the Power 5 champions in. You could get a group of 5 school in and maybe 2 wild cards, and I think that would keep enough people happy. And I would also put the first round on campus. I think that'd be awesome. So I think when you have those, that model would be fair. But 16, you're getting into having college kids play 16 games, and I just don't see the need for that.
Do you see it going to 8? Do you see something like that happening where it could go to 8 games? 8 teams?
Not in the near future. I mean, you know, talking to Bill Hancock last year at the playoff, there's no movement on that. And I don't think we'll see anything close to that till at least 2025, because unless there's like a couple nuclear chaos years. The reason I say that is, I mean, remember, we had to wait from 1998 to 2014 to get to 4, and that was 16 years. So it wouldn't surprise me if they have to wait till another 16 years to get to 8, if that's the next step.
Talk to me about Wisconsin and where they stand, and relate it back to getting two SEC teams into the playoff. We were having this conversation earlier, and I think there's a real possibility you end up with some combination of Auburn, Alabama, Georgia, two of them getting in. How do you think that shakes out?
Well, we'll see. I think if Georgia and Alabama play in the SEC championship with undefeated records, that the score in that game will matter. It will matter the chaos around them. I think it's a very real possibility. I don't think, you know, Auburn can obviously blow that up. But, I mean, that they've taken care of their business on the field. It should be a really good game, 1 and 2. But it'd be interesting to see how they split them up after that.
Bill, you're down in Miami. We're sitting up here in the snowy Northeast here. You know, I'm going to watch that game tonight, 8 o'clock on ABC. But give us an idea what it's like to be at a game as big and as special in a place like Miami for Notre Dame tonight.
Oh, yeah. I mean, for a kid like me, I mean, when I was growing up, this was the game.
Yep.
You know, I went to a Catholic school in Ohio. This was it was a big deal whenever these two played, and there was animosity, and it's fun. I mean, Miami Notre Dame, if I had one word for it, it's fun seeing these two teams go on the field because it conjures up all that nostalgia that's good for college football. I think when both teams are up and running, it's good for college football, and we're seeing that. So, I think it's going to be great.
Yeah, but give us an idea what the atmosphere is like. You obviously go to a lot of these. I mean, we've got some great college sports here in Vermont, but we don't have the big-time college football. What's it like when you walk into an arena tonight? How rowdy will it be in Miami when this game starts?
Well, that's what, you know, talking to their SID yesterday, they're anticipating an electric atmosphere. It's Miami, so it'll be fun regardless. I think, yeah, this is one of those, I'm so used to the Big Ten type sure. giant atmospheres at Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State. I mean, I was at the whiteout when Penn State beat Michigan earlier this season, and I would say this will probably be comparable to that in terms of, you know, loud and swarming atmosphere and those kind of things.
Bill, as always, we appreciate your insight, buddy. Enjoy the game tonight. We'll be watching.
Hey, absolutely. Thanks so much for having me on.
Man. Appreciate that.
Thank you.
You know, I'll tell you, and he's, you know, he's absolutely right, but man, and I get, like, you know, you don't want to have kids playing 16 games, but man, I mean, not all of them are going to play 16 games.
No, it's really not. I think that's not as much of an issue as people make it out
to. I mean, you know, and you're playing for a champion. Even if you got to take a game or two off the schedule, I guess. I don't know. Figure it out. I mean, how awesome would that be? And I got to tell you, though, I can't imagine the atmosphere is what it's going to be like down at all these games today. I mean, look,
it's going to be nuts.
We didn't even go over the Oklahoma-TCU game. Right. We talked a little bit about the Alabama game, Iowa-Wisconsin, Georgia-Auburn. There's a lot of good games today.
There's absolutely some great games. Yeah, Miami's going to be crazy. I mean, there's already footage, you know, on Twitter and different places of the crowds and the people walking the streets. And Danny Cannell was walking around filming stuff, getting a hard time, of course, from all the Miami fans.
Sure,
but it's just a blast. I mean, they are fired up.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And I got to tell you, and I want to save some of my Notre Dame stuff for Tyler James' second half.
Oh,
but,
yeah.
You know, I mean, what this Notre Dame team has done in a year is absolutely amazing. And you know, if Brian Kelly would have just trusted Wimbush a little bit against Georgia, they would have beat Georgia too. I mean, they had Georgia beaten and they had the ball.
Yeah.
And he was so conservative the first couple of weeks with Wimbush. It's really unfortunate because, I mean, I remember screaming at my television there, like, let the kid go a little
bit.
Right. Like, what do you got to lose? You know, and Georgia, we didn't know Georgia wasn't, you know, we didn't know what they were then. They were an up and coming team then, but they had a chance to be undefeated.
Yeah. To your point about the playoff system, I mean, I think that a little bit of that plays a role in those scenarios because the coaches are thinking, what I want most here is a close loss, right? Like, it's already in their mind, I think, when it comes to play calling and in the game situations. They're thinking, we're okay if this is close.
Yeah, but hey, Brian, guess what, buddy? You have a couple-point lead with, like, 8 minutes to play.
Right.
It's going to be close.
Yeah.
Even if throws a pick six, it's going to be close.
Yeah.
Okay, so, like, maybe go win that football game.
You.
But I think the Notre Dame story is very interesting. Obviously, an iconic program like Notre Dame football.
Yeah.
To get them back in the national scene is a big deal. I think going into the season and having the opportunity to have Michigan be a potential championship team, obviously it hasn't happened for Jim Harbaugh. And what's going on with Jim Harbaugh's glasses? Is he trying to go Woody Hayes on us at Ohio State?
Man.
He really is.
He's so odd.
I remember as a kid, I used to love him as a quarterback. I remember him playing for the Indianapolis Colts, and I remember he had that one year where he kind of ran them into the playoffs. Thinking, he's like an odd cat.
He's very odd.
He is. It's just funny, but I watch him like, what's up with these glasses?
It's funny because his brother seems pretty normal.
Yeah, pretty. Yeah, I mean,
John,
I don't know what's
seems like normal.
Yeah,
and Jim
he's
is
so intense.
Out there.
It's crazy.
Out there.
It really is. But listen, when you look at all these power teams that are getting back into the fold, it's always a lot of fun because honestly, I mean, I understand. I've got a close friend that's a huge Alabama fan. He's probably going to run in here and punch me if I hear. But I'm so sick of Alabama.
Right.
And I hear about the SEC, and I look at the SEC, and I think, okay. You know, but I mean, I'm not as in awe of the SEC anymore as I think we were kind of created to think it was a few years ago. And I mean, I understand what Alabama brings to the table, but man, I look at that conference overall and I think,
yeah. Yeah, I mean, they went on like a 10-12 year run, right? I mean, everything has a life cycle.
Yeah.
And certainly I think they've come off the other side of the life cycle. And it was so dominant for so long. And that's not this year. What's happened this year
it wasn't last year or the year before that either.
No, fair. It's been a couple years coming, but that's what I mean. It peaked and now it's sort of on the decline. But what happened this year is not that they're that great per se. It's that everybody else let down, right? Like USC let down and Oklahoma State let down and Oklahoma even for that matter let
down. Doesn't the Pac-12 let down every year?
That is correct.
I mean, the Pac-12, I mean, be honest.
But
I mean,
nobody
name one team in the Pac-12 that's been relevant in the last, I mean, I can't think.
Nobody.
I mean, in USC really? Used to be a power. I mean, I think, and again, I think it's good for college football when USC is a powerhouse.
I
think it's good for college football when Michigan is a powerhouse,
mm-hmm.
when Notre Dame, when Miami, you know, Miami, Florida, when Alabama. I think it's good. I really hope that there's not two SEC teams. And I like to see that in this playoff, I'd like to see a little bit of a broader range. That's just me personally. You get to SEC, it's like overkill for me.
I'm good with it.
But I want Notre Dame in it, man. I want Notre Dame.
How about
in
we get
thing.
Notre Dame? Well, no, I guess we can't get Notre Dame and Miami in. What if Miami loses today but wins the ACC championship?
Done. As long as
can
I just
we
want
get
Notre
both?
Dame in.
A rematch.
Maybe, yeah, we get
rematch.
Rematch. Can you imagine
cool.
that? That'd be a lot of
fun.
I'm psyched about tonight's game.
That'll
I really am. I'm jacked up about it.
It's
going to be fun. All right, take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to move from college football to Vermont high school football with Ponch and John from the Free Press. Alex Abrami and Austin Danforth, they're going to join us live next. Good morning. I can't believe I didn't say it in the first segment. We started talking about college football, but I want to make sure I wish everybody out there a very happy Veterans Day weekend.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for all you do. All the veterans that have sacrificed so much for our freedoms and all the beautiful things that we enjoy here in the United States. My grandparents were both veterans, World War II. I've got a lot of friends and other friends and my wife's family. So God bless you guys, and thanks for all you did. And if you see a veteran, give them a hug. They deserve that. So happy Veterans Day, everybody. Happy Veterans Day weekend. Big games this weekend in Vermont. We're going to end the fall season. Last week we ended it in the with soccer and field hockey and all that stuff. And this weekend we're ending it with football. We've got three big games. We're waiting to get a call back here from Austin Danforth and Alex Abrami. I'm sure they're trying to figure out which Dunkin' Donuts to stop at on the way to Rutland. I can imagine that that's a stressful drive for them. But three big games today. I think obviously ending with the Division I championship with St. Jay and Hartford. That starts at 5:00. The 2:00 game is Fairhaven at Bellows Falls, and the first game, which is at 11 this morning, which is very soon, is going to be Windsor at Woodstock. It's going to be a cold day down in Rutland.
Man, absolutely.
But what a great day! And Rutland's Alumni Field, a great place to watch a game. They've got a great turf down there, so it'll be a lot of fun to watch that, and we'll get that preview when Austin and Alex give us a buzz. One of the things I wanted to ask you about, last night I got home late, and I was laying in bed. I was watching the end of the San Antonio Spurs and the Milwaukee Bucks play, and I was noticing I've become a big Bucks fan.
Fun to watch.
Yeah, I've become a Bucks fan. My boy Malcolm Brogdon.
Brogdon I love. Yeah. Middleton I love. And they Brogdon bring in Bledsoe.
In case you didn't know, Brogdon's a Cavalier. He's a Virginia Cavalier.
So that's why
I jumped ship. Okay. Anyway, that's just being me. But anyway, they had a Harley Davidson patch on the Bucks uniform. Uh-huh. Is that a new thing? Are we starting to do that?
This happened a couple years ago. Yeah, the NBA let teams sign individual sponsorship deals for jerseys, right?
So that's cool.
It's not quite the level of international
like soccer, right?
Which I'm okay with.
Well, I want to see if I can get someone to wear a Romuto's logo, a Romuto's Williston.
I'm
going to have to look into that.
Like the Nets, maybe?
Yeah, maybe the Nets.
Who else would want to put their name on the Nets?
I probably put my name on anybody who want to wear it around.
The Nets.
I'll put my name on your shirt.
I'll do it. My rec team, we can be.
We'll do that. Be perfect. All right. I'm the TikTok dude's guest, so we're going to talk some high school football now. Now, which one do we have on, Dave? Is it Alex or do we have Austin? I just want to know. We have Austin Danforth. Austin Danforth on the TikTok Jewelers guest line. Good morning, buddy. How you doing?
Morning. I'm great. Alex Abrami and I just pulled into Rutland High School.
I was wondering, the reason you were late calling, I figured it was because there was some fight over the Dunkin' Donuts in Middlebury, or maybe maybe the one in Brandon. I didn't know if there was a little fight on the way down and where you're going to stop to get the coffee.
The only stop we had to make was to get met my dad in Rutland to pick up a small heater because it's going to be
It's going to be a great idea. Listen, I should have thought about this. My mother lives right around the corner from there. She would have brought you soup. She would have brought you hand warmers, some sweatshirts. So you would have been all set up. So if there's a problem, text me and I'll make sure that old Angela's over there with everything you need.
That'd be great.
Yeah, we'll take care of you. And on the way home, is there going to be a Gil's stop on the way home?
They won't be open by the time we leave.
Oh, that's true. Actually, you're late. This is late night for you. All right. I know you got.
We got D3 at 11 a.m.
Yeah.
We have D2 at 2 p.m. We have D1 at 5 p.m. And so by the time we're done filing all that stuff, we're probably not hitting the road till 10 or 10:30.
You see how we have to feel bad? See what he's doing here?
Oh, yeah.
Jeff, when exactly am I going to have time to get a sandwich,
and
Jeff?
It's cold.
I'm working. We're up to work all day
Saturday.
Long. That's a typical Austin.
Oh, my goodness.
All right, buddy, let's preview these games. The first one starts in what? It starts in 15 minutes. You've got Woodstock and you've got Windsor. What do you expect today?
Well, so the cool thing about these three finals is they're all rematches from the regular season,
awesome.
And those three games were settled by a combined 7 points.
Wow.
So this D3 game, you have number 2 Woodstock going up against defending champion Windsor. Windsor won 12-9 over the Wasps in the regular season. They're going for their second straight perfect season. You can look at that game, you look at D2, you look at D1. They could potentially all be toss-ups. They could be thrillers, or, it being a championship game, we could get, this Windsor team, coming in rolling. They might just, maybe they pull it out in convincing fashion.
Do you expect the weather at all to be a problem?
No, because it's not like they're weighted down by as much clothing as Abrami and I are. They just have to be out there for two and a half hours.
Kind of a clash of styles in this Windsor-Woodstock game, man. One of these teams can really sling it. The other one, couple guys with all kinds of rushing yards. Do you see that playing out in that same style today?
I think that's going to be a factor when you get down to the final score. Woodstock, they're traditionally, they just run the ball
right
out of that wing tee. Windsor's a little more wide open, potentially you'd call it creative. Maybe one of those, if Windsor can do, Woodstock can do what it wants, they can keep the clock in their favor, keep the field position in their favor, might keep the score low enough. But if Windsor, maybe they connect on a couple early home run plays, and then it starts to get a little wild.
Fairhaven and Bellows Falls kick off at 2:00. Fairhaven, the perennial power. Bellows Falls, the 4 seed, gets in this championship game.
Yeah, Bellows Falls also the defending D2 champ. And they're coming in off of a huge upset win over Burn Burton after BBA's star quarterback, Jay McCoy, went down in the second half with an injury. And you look at that, this is one, the Slaters won by a point in the regular season, 35-34. But it seems like the Terriers have gotten a lot better since then. And so you look at this, Bellows Falls actually does this wild thing where they have two different kids that can play quarterback at any given time and they can do anything. You look at their stats through over the course of the year, and it's like, this guy threw for 2 passes, this guy threw 5 passes, and this guy caught the pass, this guy ran. It's sort of wild. But when you look at Fairhaven, you know what they do. They spread you out. They have a great quarterback named Cam Caluti who can find a bunch of targets. They also apparently, which you wouldn't necessarily think, but it's almost a 50-50 split run versus pass when you think of plays and yards and over the course of the season. So I think you give the slight edge to Fairhaven, but you do that at your own peril because Bellows Falls is coming in, chip on their shoulder, big upset last week, and it's their title to defend now.
I was just going to ask about this Cam kid from Fairhaven. Man, the kid can throw the ball almost 3,000 passing yards on the season. I saw this in the preview last night. 33 touchdowns and 4 interceptions. This kid can throw.
Yeah, that's Brady-esque. And folks that were around watching Vermont High
Sorry,
School
Jeff.
Football 15, 20 years ago, in preseason, the Fairhaven coach, Brian Grady, was comparing the Caluti kid to a couple guys he worked with before, Mike and Sean Keenan.
Yep.
When he was at MSJ.
Wow.
And two guys that could really, really throw the ball. And he said he might have a better arm than those two. So it's sort of wild.
Wow. Yeah, that is. And that's some compliment to give a quarterback because those two Keenan kids were unbelievable at MSJ. His teams at MSJ were really, really good. All right, let's move to Division I. Let's go St. Jay and Hartford. Is Hartford a team? I know they're the number 2 seed, but I feel like they got a lot better from the beginning of the year. Are they the hottest team in Division I right now?
I don't know if you could say that. I think that still has to go to St. Jay. Hartford's only fault this year was losing to St. Jay. I think it was 22-19 in week one. So you look at them, Hartford does the same thing they've always done. They might throw the ball actually a little more than years past, but you get St. Jay coming in, quarterback Jake Cady, he's a dual threat guy. They can spread you out. They can throw it deep. He can run the read option with a stable of backs that they have. And they've been putting up a lot of points.
And what a job Rich Alercio's done with that program. I mean, you have to be impressed. He went up to there. I don't want to say they were irrelevant, but they definitely weren't championship level. And now all of a sudden, St. Jay's a powerhouse in Division I football.
Yeah, it's pretty remarkable. I mean, he's made it look like more like a college program
than
maybe they're good, maybe they're not, high school program that they traditionally were. This is their third final in 4 seasons. And they didn't win the last two. I think it was 4 years ago, they came up against the end of that great Middlebury run. Last year it was Hartford that was pretty dominant. I think they have plenty to prove, plenty to play for, in addition to the perfect record.
Yeah, so this Hartford team, I mean, clearly they like to run the ball. They have like 5 or 6 guys over 500 yards. SJA certainly looking to throw the ball a lot more, it would seem. But at the same time, the SJA defense really, I mean, the guys with, there's a kid with 5 picks I saw in the preview. This game looks like it's going to be a ground and pound. Is that what's going to happen?
I think that's what Hartford's going to try and do. But last time I think they were here at Rutland, they were down big in the second half, and I was watching the game online and thinking, man, this isn't the type of team that's built to really come back from a big deficit. And turns out they turned on. I think it was like a 28 or 30 unanswered points. They won 54-40 or something like that.
Wow.
Here against Rutland to stun the Raiders. really sink the Raiders' season at that point. But they can really score when they need to if they start moving in the trenches and finding holes to get to the second level.
Austin, you and Alex have a great day. Tell my good buddy Jack Healy I said hello, and we'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thanks, guys.
All right, buddy. Have a great day. I'm going to tell you, Alex didn't get on the phone, but between Austin Danforth and Alex Abrami, those two have more knowledge about high school sports in this state. I'm going to tell you something right now. You can ask Alex or Austin about, pick a school, it doesn't matter the division, doesn't matter the sport,
right.
In any
part,
town, any city, the state of Vermont, they can tell you the best players, why they're the best players. I mean, they really are unbelievable. It'll be fun to see these games. And when you listen to the preview of these games, it sounds like all three should be good.
It certainly looks like it. I mean, all these rematches, we were just talking about the possibility of a Notre Dame-Miami rematch.
Yeah.
We get our own little version today. All the championship games, rematches, overtime losses early in the season.
Sure.
Should be great.
Yeah, and when watching Hartford, and the only reason I can say, I mentioned Hartford being red hot, I saw what Hartford did to Colchester's football team in the first round, and I can remember kind of what Hartford was early in the season, kind of following this a little bit. They're a hot football team, but it's two contrasting styles in Rich Alercio's Hilltoppers and what Hartford does.
Yeah.
And you got to love what Rich has done up in St. Johnsbury. Rich is a former head coach at Castleton.
Okay.
Went up and he's coaching now at St. Jay. He's really turned the program around, and he's exactly right. He runs it like a college. So these kids will be prepared to play. They'll be ready to play. My guess is they're going to get the job done today, but Hartford's definitely a game. It'll be interesting to see what happens. We want to thank those guys. All right, we're going to take a quick break, but when we come back, I'm annoyed again. Okay, Jake?
No. All right.
I'm annoyed again.
We're here.
I'm
going
to tell you right now. I've seen this article three times. I was annoyed by the name of it, so I read it. And now I'm even more annoyed. And I'm going to tell y'all why when we come right back.
Another day of sports talk in the Champlain Valley.
We are Sports Saturday here.
We are awful.
Jeff Paul, Bernie Siplicki. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Here's Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho.
And here's you.
No!
Get used to it. The holidays are here.
You know, I'm going to say this. I often will get on here and think and shake my head about where we are as a society. And whether you like the holidays or don't like the holidays, whatever. I mean, look, I love the holidays.
Me too.
You know, I don't like the weather. I'm not a big fan of the weather. But I do love the holidays.
I'm
so
all in.
I've seen this article three times, okay? The article says, sorry, Christmas music might be bad for your health. I'm going to read this to you guys, okay? So here we go. Stop it with this.
The baby's offended.
Stressing before Christmas. Let me start over. Stressing before Christmas? Listening to the cheerful, jolly music will not help you relax, a British psychologist said. In fact, listening to Christmas music could harm a person's mental health. Are you kidding me? Oh, my God. Clinical psychologist Linda Blair told Sky News. Blair said the continuous playing of Christmas music in the car or at stores reminds people of all the things they need to do before the holiday arrives, Jake. You're actually spending all your energy trying not to hear what you're hearing, Blair told the Sky News. Somebody wrote this article. Actually, somebody took this gal seriously.
Yeah.
Blair said store workers are more at risk of being mentally drained by the array of cheerful music.
Oh,
the same
goodness.
Songs being played constantly makes it hard for employees to tune it out and are unable to stay focused on anything else. Christmas music is likely to irritate people if it's played too loudly and too early. Oh, my God. Let me just say this, okay? If you lose your mind and it stresses you out to hear some of these songs that are played, Christmas songs, you have a bigger problem than the Christmas songs.
That is absolutely.
I mean, how weak have we become as a society that we can't handle listening to Christmas music?
It's going
to
be all right, Jim.
I mean, honestly, like I get it. Like they'd be like, oh my goodness, you know. And people will say, well, you know, we work in this station where it's a Christmas holiday station. So you think, oh, Jeff, you're just being a company guy.
No.
Listen, I love Christmas music.
Too.
If I want to listen, I'll put it on. I don't want to turn it off.
Just turn it off.
But walking into a mall and hearing Bing Crosby sing a Christmas song is not stressing me out.
It shouldn't.
Listening to Jingle Bells is not stressing me out.
It shouldn't.
Listening to Jingle Bell Rock is not stressing me out. In fact, it actually brings me back to when I was a child. It kind of makes you think, it kind of makes you smile a little bit.
Yeah.
But somebody, not just, people
the
are writing
thing.
Articles
yeah.
about this. This is an article in the New York Post. I read it on Sky
the British,
News.
Though, yeah.
Oh, my
yeah.
God.
Oh my
I am so annoyed with stuff like that.
The only exception, that Christmas Shoe song. Get out of here with that.
Oh, that's sad. That Christmas Shoe song is sad.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my God. I know. I'm immediately running to places like Kohl's looking for someone that I can buy something for.
That's not me, Dad.
That's
fine. I love Feliz Navidad.
That's a good one.
I mean, and listen, I love the Christmas time of year. It's a great time of year. I mean, it can be. I get where it can be stressful, but I mean, if you look at what Christmas is supposed to be about, and not what the what they're telling you should
there
be about,
go.
It's not about buying things. It's about loving your family, being with your family.
Right?
You
know,
it's about spending time with your family. That's
exactly
what it's about.
Giving me stuff.
What's your What's your favorite Christmas movie, real quick?
Oh, Christmas Vacation, bar none.
Oh, see? You serious, Clark?
I mean, let me tell you how much I love that movie. I could start right now and I could do every line.
Me too.
In fact, year-round, I use lines all the time.
Listen, we built a house this summer. We built it. My wife chose a lot of the things, as you might imagine. We built like 25-foot ceilings because of the line in the movie that says, "Rut, that tree won't fit in our yard, Dad." And he goes, "It's not going in our yard, Russ.
Well,
it's going in our living room."
Love that one. And the one that I use all year round is when Monica goes, "Where's the milk?" And I'll go, "I don't know, Margo."
Why is the floor wet?
I use
wet?
That all the time. Exactly. And why is the floor all wet, Todd?
I don't know, Margo. Yeah.
I could go all day on that.
Yeah.
We're all right. Thank God we're all right.
We're doing okay.
Underneath the truck?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I love that movie. The best Christmas movie of all time is Christmas Vacation.
White Christmas for me.
White Christmas is a good one. And I've always been a big fan of the old style, the Christmas Carol.
Oh,
the black and white one.
Yeah.
I used to love that one. There's one that it's called Scrooge. They don't show much anymore. Because
the Bill Murray one?
No. That's Scrooge. Duh.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
We're
talking
Scrooge. It's a black
like
and white.
Okay.
It's an original one. The guy that plays Scrooge is you know, he's creepy looking.
Yeah.
It's really kind of ghostly.
Yeah.
That's a good one. They don't show that one much anymore. And I noticed that it's, you know, it's a musical. Because I'm not usually into musicals, but I'm into that one. I like that one. But I think other than that, Christmas Vacations, I'm into Christmas, you know, the Scrooge, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of another one that I really like.
Elf? Are you into the newer ones? Elf?
Not so much.
For me, it's White Christmas.
Yeah.
It's Christmas Vacation, and then it's Elf for me. Because I do like Elf.
Yeah, and,
very
and what's the one with the wonderful...
It's a Wonderful Life?
It's a Wonderful
Life.
Are
you into that one?
I don't know if I'm into it.
A little sad for me.
It is sad, but I know my dad loves it, so I'm always in there because I know my dad loves it. I just think, you know, the holidays are fine. But I can tell you this. Listening to a Christmas song is not going to stress me out.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And I don't
know. Buck up,
why are you so stressed out?
I'm not stressed out.
Buck up.
Listen, I told you, I've had a bad... I haven't been able to find a good fruit cup every... I used to get this fruit cup every Saturday morning. Can't find one anymore.
Seasonal, right?
Yeah, I guess. But they make fruit year-round. I mean, I can get it at the store. I just want this place to keep making this fruit cup. It's such a knockout fruit
That's
cup.
So
now I can't even barely find a banana. It's terrible. All right,
Can I?
Yes, Dave, it's your turn.
Sports Center.
Yeah.
If it has to do with sports, we're talking about it. WCPV, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh. The Sports Station, 101.3 ESPN.
This hour's Sports Center is not being brought to you by East Sox 194 Main Street across from the Divorce Court in beautiful downtown Burlington. Apelle Rissanen scored his second goal of the game at the 16:54 mark of the third period, leading the Boston College Eagles to a 4-3 win over the Vermont Catamounts at the Gut last night. The Cats did hold a 2-0 lead in the first period, but could not hold off the Eagles as they trailed 3-2 at the end of two. Stefanos Likas piled up 41 saves for Vermont. The loss moves the Catamounts to 3-6-1 overall and 1-2-1 in Hockey East. Cats and Eagles do it again tonight at the Gut. Puck drops at 7 o'clock. UVM women's hockey team upset the defending national champions number 3-ranked Clarkson yesterday 3-2 behind the Cats' Taylor Willard's power play goal with 68 seconds left in regulation to win and improve Vermont's record to 5-6-1 on the season. Today, the Vermont High School football, they're going to have a big day. They're going to be crowning all the champions in each division. All games will be held at the Rutland High School Alumni Field starting right now at 11 o'clock with Division III championship between number 1 Windsor and number 2 Woodstock. At 2, Division II championship will be crowned between number 2 Fairhaven and number 4 Bellows Falls. And finally, Division I crowning their champion as number 1 St. Johnsbury takes on number 2 ranked Hartford. The Hurricanes, that game scheduled for 5 o'clock. And last night, the Celtics continued their winning ways, beating Charlotte by a score of 9-87 at the Garden. The win was the Celts' 11th straight. The win did come at a loss, though. The Celtics' Kyrie Irving left the game with an injury to his head, was pulled to be monitored for a possible concussion. Hour number 2, Sports Saturday. Jeff Paul, Jake Kent standing by. I'm Dave Hunter, 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com.
Jeff Paul.
It's my quarterback.
Bernie Siplicki. This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
655-6672 is the number to call to join the conversation. 802-655-6672 to give us a buzz. Or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line at 802-655-6672. Same number. We got one already. It says, "Let's go Woodstock Wasp." So
there you go.
He didn't share his name, but he's a big Woodstock fan. He hopes the Woodstock Wasps knock off the, who are they playing today?
Windsor.
Woodstock. Yeah, being Windsor. Yeah, we hope the Woodstock Wasps beat Windsor today, so we appreciate that. Jake, usually at 11:40 on this show, we do your fantasy football segment, yeah. But we're going to do it now because we've got Bernie coming on next segment, and we got to talk to Tyler James of the South Bend Tribune after that. So give us a call now. Get him in now, 655-6672. Jake is in studio. We're going to talk fantasy football. Let me just say this before we talk fantasy football with you. My team was 0-5
yeah.
going into week six, and now I'm 4-5.
There you go.
And I'm streaking.
Right where you want to be.
And I was so depressed with my fantasy football team that I never looked at the standings. I'm actually tied for first place.
Hey.
In my division.
There you go.
How awesome is that?
Yeah, I like it.
I mean, I am fired up about it.
Right
this.
Where you need to be.
Exactly. Exactly.
So you were depressed in fantasy football and real football.
Yes. I'm much more depressed in real football. And I didn't want to talk. See, when Bernie's here, we talk New York football Giants. Right. I'm not going to talk
Giants. Actively
avoiding
we're going
to say why.
I wonder why.
It's not good.
Actively avoiding it.
So one of the moves that I made that was very difficult for me that I actually did this week was I sat Russell Wilson this week.
Mm-hmm.
He had a good matchup, I thought, with Arizona because I'm going to start Stafford instead. I mean, let's look at that game first. People may have made some mistakes keeping some Seattle Seahawks on the field this week.
Yeah, I think they probably did in some cases. You're like, I played Doug Baldwin just because of the questions around Julio Jones.
Right.
And he had an okay game. I mean, that game shook out okay for most fantasy guys. I mean, the Seattle running game has been a disaster. It remained a disaster.
Yep.
Doug Baldwin was all right. But Russ Wilson had an okay game. But when you look at a guy like Matt Stafford this week, who I have as the second highest scoring potential of the week.
He's my quarterback.
Cleveland's great against the run. Surprisingly great against the run, especially after now that they're getting a little healthier. And the Lions cannot run the ball. I mean, if you watched any of that game last week, I mean, they had like 6 carries from the 2-yard line.
Yeah.
They can't get a yard.
Right.
I mean, they cannot run the ball. Theo Riddick has been a guy I've loved for a couple of years in fantasy, and certainly they put him to work in the passing game, but Amir Abdullah just not getting it done.
He fumbled two big fumbles last week.
Yeah. He finally started to look okay. He had two big fumbles. They can't run the ball. So if you can't run the ball, you're playing against a strong run defense. That means Matt Stafford should have to throw and have to throw a lot. So yeah, Matt Stafford, a huge, huge potential this week against the Browns.
655-6672. If you have a question for Jake, get your fantasy football questions going right now. He'll answer those questions, or you can text us on the Town Fair Tire text line at the same number, 802-655-6672. All right, Jake, we ask you every week, who are the guys you got to have this week? If you got to find somebody really quick, you got big players on the that are off on a bye, who do you want to pick up off the waiver wire?
Yeah, so a few guys. So we think that the Ezekiel Elliott situation has finally sorted itself out, right? Yep. Like we think that this.
Well,
is
he's not playing, right?
Supposedly.
So we think he's not
until
playing
until they actually until, like run out right. on the field and he's not there.
Because you know there'll be some kind of injunction right. set like a half hour before right. the game starts, right.
I don't understand what's been going on. Really,
I've stopped even paying attention to that. I don't even know what he did. I'm so it's like oh my, the NFL
is exhausting. Yeah.
It really is between the average play of the games, in my opinion, to the rules that I don't understand what's what anymore, to all this garbage that goes on with Goodell. Like, my God.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that really are very tedious.
All right, back to fantasy football, tedious, the best part of football.
We'll try
fantasy
and
football.
It actually. I agree, and we can have a bigger conversation about that another time. But
sure. Well, we can do it today.
So,
we're here.
So Zeke, right? So gone finally. So Alfred Morris is the guy. Most people, since this has been going on for weeks. He's probably long gone in your leagues. Rod Smith is the other guy, right? He's going to be the Theo Riddick. He's going to be the Alvin Kamara pass catcher back. Dallas and Atlanta has the highest over-under of the week. A lot of points should be on the board. Rod Smith is the guy that I want. Not so much Darren McFadden, Run DMC. I think just too far removed now.
Yep.
He's been inactive, even healthy most games. I'm not even sure if he'll be active for the game, but Rod Smith is the running back that I want. From Dallas, staying in Texas, Deonta Foreman out of Texas, who we talked about in the preseason, great yards per carry, not getting a lot of volume yet, but he's a guy that as we look forward over the next few weeks, and particularly this week against the Rams, who are not great run stoppers, though, Dave, they look fantastic. Deonta Foreman, a guy who also very widely available, and again, against a team who ranks in the bottom 10, should be okay to move the ball some.
So, you know, one of the things I'm kind of going back and forth is Evan Engram with the Giants having a good rookie season, yeah, even though the quarterback can't get him the ball when he should get him the ball, but we'll get into that some other time. But I have him, and I also have Delanie Walker.
Yeah.
So what do you think?
It's a good question.
Because Engram is in San Francisco, another bad football team. You know, you kind of, and he really is the focal point of that offense. Where Delanie Walker, I mean, it looks like there are signs that things are going to. I mean, he's really their best. I mean, he's their threat with Tennessee. What do you think?
Yeah, a lot of mouths to feed in Tennessee. I would probably go Engram in that scenario. I have two rules in any given week as it relates to the tight end. If the tight end is playing the Giants, you start them. Or if the tight end is playing the Browns, you start them. And the third rule might be just start Evan Engram because there is no one else. Like at some point, like they have to throw the ball to someone.
Well, Sterling Shepard's back. And that's my other conundrum.
Yeah,
because I have him in my here's my other conundrum here. So I mean this tells you how undeep my team is. But I've got, you know, Chris Hogan's out.
Yep.
Normally he's a guy playing my flex
position. Maybe Philip Dorsett's the guy.
Yep. So if I could find
him. I don't want him.
I have Theo Riddick on my bench.
Mm-hmm.
That's healthy. Amari Cooper is off this week.
Yep.
So I had Shepard starting in my flex position, but I also have Engram in my starting position. So what do you think about like two players like that?
From an overall design perspective, what I would do is I would start Engram. He's my second highest tight end of the week.
Yep.
I think that he's just going to get the volume to offset whatever he needs to. The Giants are just a dumpster fire. So start Engram with confidence. And I'm probably, in your case, since you're starting Stafford, I'm probably just going to go all in on the Lions. And I'm going to start Theo Riddick. I think you play in a PPR league, if I remember correctly. Yeah, so I'm just going to start Theo Riddick. I'm going to start Matt Stafford. If they have the kind of game we're expecting against the Browns, you'll blow out whoever you play.
Okay, so I'm not going to start Sterling Shepard. I'm going to start Riddick instead.
I think you're starting Theo Riddick. Yeah.
Okay, that's bold. All right, Shane from Burlington just sent me a text here. Need to decide between Tariq Cohen, Latavius Murray, or Damian Williams in my running back two spot.
And give me the names one more time. Damian Williams.
Sure. So you got Tariq Cohen, mm-hmm, Latavius Murray, and Damian Williams.
Oh, boy. Those aren't names that you get all that excited about, probably. I think that I would go with, give me Tariq Cohen if it's a PPR.
Okay.
And obviously, I don't feel that great about that. You can tell from the tone. Those are just names that are very tough. I think Latavius Murray with Jerick McKinnon in town is always going to have limited upside. If you play in a PPR league, just roll out Tariq Cohen and hope for the best.
Dennis from Georgia needs two. Rob Kelly, Darkwa, or James White?
Darkwa for me this week, for sure. Like his matchup. We don't love the Giants, but we do love Darkwa's matchup overall. And the other two names are James White and
Rob Kelly.
Yeah, give me James White if it's a PPR league. Again, I'm going to assume everyone's in a PPR league unless you tell me otherwise. So give me James White.
Well, thanks for the text, Dennis. And one more. This is unnamed. Ty Montgomery or Jay Reed, PPR? Jordan Reed.
If Jordan Reed is healthy for the next 5 minutes, which is about the span he normally stays healthy, I will probably start Jordan Reed in that scenario. There are a lot of pass catchers in Washington. They've had sort of an up-and-down year to a degree.
Right.
But if Jordan Reed is healthy, I think that he's the guy for me. It's not a great matchup with Minnesota. But if you need some upside, that's probably the direction I'm headed.
655-6672 if you want to call us. You can join us in the Town Fair Tire text line. Same number, 802-655-6672. I'm having trouble talking today.
Yeah, say some of these names that people are looking at starting, these are some pretty wild names in terms of expecting to start. And some of that's the bye week, some of that's injuries. There are better guys to start than some of these names I'm hearing. So, you know, don't be afraid to drop guys, especially at this point in the season. I know, and Jordan Reed, you're probably not dropping, but like the example of the running backs a few questions ago, you don't really want to start any of those guys. Like, I don't really want to start Latavius Murray or Tariq Cohen. There's probably a guy out there I'd rather have.
Unless, of course, you're taking on me.
Then go ahead and run them out there.
If you're playing me, then you run those guys right out there.
Absolutely. Like, I would rather start, say, like, Devonta Booker, right, in Denver. Like, I would rather start him than either of those guys. He's widely available in most leagues. Dark was probably more available in most leagues. You know, in the flex spot, I'm getting away from running back for the most part, but I'd rather start Foreman or Smith, who we talked about, over guys like a Latavius Murray, for instance. So especially at this point in the season, there's only two things that matter at this point in the season, really. And we build benches for longevity. We know the NFL has so many injuries, and that's why we build benches. But what we want is, at this point, is upside. You either need a win, or you need to gear up for the playoffs. So don't be afraid to drop guys.
Chris from Colchester. Seattle was decent for PPR if you had Jimmy Graham. Started Wilson and Graham due to bye week for Wentz, but it worked out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, Jimmy Graham finally showed up, right? He caught a couple touchdowns.
Yeah.
Still not the volume you want to see. Like, it's kind of scary when, like, you get four catches or whatever he had, and
he's been a bust in Seattle.
He's never been the New Orleans guy he was.
Exactly. Okay, another one. Will Diggs actually do something this week, or should I fade him out?
Oh,
Josh from Milton. Thanks for the text, Josh.
Yeah, Diggs is the tough. Diggs is tough. He's been tough to figure out all year. Case Keenum's part of that problem.
Yeah.
I don't know when Bridgewater's going to come back.
I think Diggs' biggest problem has been his quarterbacks for the last couple years. I mean, the potential's there for him.
The potential's there. It's not a great matchup for Thielen or Diggs, right? So Washington pretty tough against the pass overall. I'm probably fading him one more week. I would like to think that he becomes much more usable over the next few weeks and get a little value out of him before it's too late.
Can you imagine if there was no fantasy football, where the interest would be?
I think the league is kidding themselves. I don't think the league has any idea how much its popularity thrives on fantasy football.
Odell Beckham Jr. came out. I'm trying to remember when he had the injury in the preseason.
Yeah.
They weren't sure when he was going to come back, and he was supposed to play against
week
Dallas.
One,
he didn't play
two,
week
yeah.
one, and he came out and said, I could care less about fantasy football. And I thought to myself, you should really care about fantasy football. Not that you got to put yourself out there
right.
if you're hurt.
Sure.
But without fantasy football, the NFL is kind of eh.
I agree.
I mean, truth be told, I mean, the reason people really, and I would love to know if this is the case, but I can tell you point blank, the only reason I'm even tuning in to a football game right now is to check to see if my guys are playing well in fantasy football. The only reason I even turned on that game on Thursday night was because I wanted to see if I made a mistake sitting Wilson. That's what I wanted to see. And I was taking on a guy that had Doug Baldwin, and I wanted to see if he was going to screw me over. So, I mean, that's kind of why I watched. And again, take everything, all the outside entities aside, all the kneeling and all that stuff, because I don't want to get into that.
Of course.
The product isn't good.
Yeah.
The product is not a good product. And it's all started when they couldn't practice as hard in the preseason.
Right.
This is where it all started, because the product isn't great. Think about this for 1 minute. How many starting offenses, how much do they work in the preseason when it gets to week one?
Right.
I'm not talking about practice reps. I'm talking about on-field reps. How many reps do they have? These guys don't get any continuity till at least week four or five.
At least, yeah.
I mean, it's amazing. It's crazy. Yeah. Okay, here's another one. I played Paul Richardson in most leagues due to bye weeks, and I hate myself for it. Jeff from Colchester. Jeff, I feel your pain. That's usually me every week.
Yeah, Paul Richardson has been very good. We talked about him going back 4 or 5 weeks now as the guy, and the question at the time had been, you know, am I looking at Richardson or Lockett long term? And I actually like Richardson more. But yeah, tough game for him. He is so talented, though. The way he tracks balls in coverage is amazing. I mean, he makes catches every week that I look at and say, oh my goodness, how did you even find that ball, much less catch it? I think long term you're good, but yeah, tough start for him for sure.
So Calvin from Bristol said, Goff or Russell Wilson? Well, I can answer that one. I wouldn't play Wilson at all. I would play Goff because Russell Wilson just played on Thursday.
The Rams, man, that offense has been lights out. So yeah, I mean, Goff is a start every week. Yeah.
I hate to say this because David's sitting across me, but the Rams have been a nice story. And I have to say, I am going to root for them. Okay, I don't want to get Dave's input because we have a few minutes left, and I got another text here. Jeff from Winooski. Need two wide receivers PPR. Jermaine Kearse, Davante Adams, Corey Davis, or Allen Hurns?
Oh, man. Corey Davis for sure for me this week. I am out on the Packers offense. Oof. Brent Hundley just looks so bad. Yeah, it's really disappointing from a fantasy perspective.
Yeah.
And that team, to go from where they were to what they are now, is just shocking.
And how amazing is it that what a difference. I mean, if Aaron Rodgers is ever going to look for a contract extension,
this is done.
Here's your tape, baby. Yeah. I mean, I mean, it is such a quarterback-driven league, isn't it? It really is. It's such a quarterback-driven league, and to see what's happened to Green Bay, to me, it is stunning to think that, wow, this is a football team that was talking about Super Bowl championships, and they were playing that way, to now, you don't think they're not going to make a playoff run.
Yeah, and to finish that guy's question, I'd probably go Hurns over Kearse.
So Hurns and Corey Davis
for me this week. Yeah.
So Kearse is out. No, you said, okay, Allen Hurns and Corey Davis. No Davante Adams, no Jermaine Kearse. Jeff from Winooski, I hope you got that, buddy. Pay attention. Neil's what he's doing. Jermaine Kearse, I got him playing too this week. I mean, I don't know. You know, I'm tough on that. I don't know.
You ready for my input?
No, but I'm like pulling at straws with my team. All right, Dig, go ahead. What's your input? What's your Rams?
You can't fit my input. We got to go to break.
Good. Don't go yet. I want to say one thing. We got Bernie coming up next. And you guys know it's Bernie's birthday yesterday.
Yesterday. Let's all sing.
I want you to cue some birthday music for the big man.
All right.
Work.
Let's get that one going.
Got you covered 24/7. The sports station in the Champlain Valley. 101.3 ESPN.
Upper body injury.
Getting you ready for game day.
Now I really end this combat.
Yeah, but the show got a lot better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Infobells.
Good morning. It is Sports Saturday here on 101.3 ESPN. I am Jeff Paul, your host. Jake Kent filling in for the big fellow who is in Kentucky on assignment. And before we get to the assignment you're on, Bernie, I have to say happy birthday, buddy.
Happy birthday.
Thank you very much, fellas. It was a good day yesterday for sure.
Bernie, was there a cake for you? I hope they took care of you on your birthday, man.
They took good care of me here. The hospitality in Kentucky is as advertised, very good.
All right, man. I can just imagine. We won't get into that. If the wife might be listening, so we won't talk about that.
Yeah, no, we don't want to do that.
All right, Bernie. Listen, let's get right into it. We don't have a whole lot of time, and I know you're really busy. What an exciting weekend it is for UVM hoops, huh?
It's going to be great. You know, the team is en route right now. They'll have a shoot around at Rupp and practice at 4:30 today for about an hour and a half, and you know, then do some film work after that and relax, get up in the morning, have a shoot around again, and get ready to play. You know, Kentucky won last night against the very game Utah Valley State team. And, you know, Kentucky was down 9 at halftime and then came out and went on an 18-0 run. And that 18-0 run was all in transition and rebounding, and that's going to be the two keys for the Catamounts to win tomorrow.
I mean, I don't want to make this bigger than it is because it's arguably a very early season game. But for Vermont, it's interesting. What's the mindset of the team, Bernie, right now? What are you sensing? A calm team? I mean, this is a big game for this program, I think.
Well, it's a huge game because you know they're still in this era with Zon Becker. They've had a lot of great wins. But they haven't had that signature win, that one that you say, oh, that you can go, what is the greatest win in this era that we've had in Vermont basketball? And the core four is so talented and, you know, can play with anybody. That's Trey Bell Haynes, Ernie Duncan, Peyton Henson, and Anthony Lamb. And, you know, so there's a quiet confidence, but you know, it's still a different league, Kentucky. Their size and their athleticism is just, it goes underappreciated when you watch it on television versus seeing it live.
How important is Ernie Duncan to the team? I feel like Ernie had a year. I mean, he was great last year, but I feel like there's so much potential for him, and I think there's a lot of expectation. How important is Ernie Duncan to this team?
Well, Ernie is so important because he's never really, really been healthy for a long period of time. He's always had those nagging injuries, and you know there was a little bit of precaution with his injury prior to the St. Michael's game, but he's fine now. And he's just so important because he's just such a smart player. He passes the ball so well, and you know you've seen him hit 7, 8 three-pointers in a row, and if he's doing that, it helps Vermont compete with anybody.
Let's talk strategy for today, Bernie. What's the game plan, as far as you're aware of it, on both sides, really? Is Kentucky going to come out and shoot the three? I saw they only took 15 threes last night. I know they're a big-time transition team. How do you see both teams approaching this game?
Well, I think, you know, Kentucky, again, wants to get out and run and just wants to ball hawk defensively. And, you know, they're going to really try to pressure and force turnovers to lead to easy baskets in transition. And that was part of it in the, you know, the run that they had to start the second half against Utah Valley State last night. And for Vermont, you know, again, it's going to be rebounding. Because if they got to make shots, obviously, when you have a try to pull an upset of this magnitude, you got to make shots and you got to make your free throws. But rebounding is going to be key, and really staying out of foul trouble. Lamb and Henson cannot get into foul trouble on the interior. And then lastly is getting back in transition. Don't give up any easy buckets because, you know, early on, Kentucky is struggling to score in the half court.
We are talking to a really big deal on the TikTok Jewelers guest line, Bernie Siplicki of Sports Saturday on location here in Kentucky as UVM. Not only that, he's also ESPN3's Bernie Siplicki.
Oh,
did you know that, Jake?
I did not know that.
You didn't know that he's a TV star, too.
Wow.
Yeah, he has to put a tie on once in a while.
It's not television. It's stream.
No, it's not. Okay. That's TV. I told you. Listen, first of all, I've already told you this. Day. I'm going to tell you this story. I was in a bar in just outside of Raleigh, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Watching UVM play somebody, and there's my boy on television.
Hey, all
right. And I text him, right? And I said, I'm watching you on TV. And he's like, oh, yeah, I'm a big, you know, I'm too busy to talk to you right now. And I basically said, dude, throw the word flush out. Now, have you ever heard Bernie use the word flush? Okay, if you listen to Bernie, if you tune into the station 101.3 ESPN tomorrow at 3 o'clock, Bernie is doing the game on the radio.
All right.
Whenever there's a dunk or something good, Bernie's like, get the flush.
Oh, sure, yeah.
So I tell everybody in there, Bernie's going to, that's that guy right there.
That's his word.
You're going to hear it. He's my boy right there. And he did, and the place went crazy. So don't let him tell you it's streamed. He's a TV star.
I like it.
All right. So listen to you tomorrow. So tell me about what's going on for you, though. You, as a big basketball fan, Bernie, you are a college basketball junkie, a former Division I college basketball player yourself. What's it like for you to be able to hang out in Rupp Arena, walk on that court, be close to it like this?
You know, there are many things that, you know, people have for hobbies. People like to travel and say they have to go to, I don't know, Italy to see great art, or they want to do something. Like for me, it's going to college basketball venues, and this is a bucket list venue, and this place is phenomenal. It's kind of like, you know, when you walk into Yankee Stadium or Fenway Park for the first time, and you just kind of walk in and you see it, and you're just like, wow. And when you open the doors and you walk into Rupp, it's just, you know, you think of the tradition, and you think of, you know, Villanova beating Georgetown in the national championship there. You think of all the great teams that, you know, so many, you know, Adolph Rupp had. There's so much history, and so, you know, there's so much pride behind it. It's just an unbelievable venue and obviously an awesome program.
Bernie, so you're going to sit down at the table tomorrow on the floor. Cal Perry's going to be sitting in front of you. I mean, you're going to look around. I mean, I always get like this when I talk to people that get to do things that not a lot of people get to do. But what a rush it's got to be right there, to be right in the middle of it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it is so, I'm so lucky. I'm so fortunate to be part of this and to be able to do this. And you know, I got to thank the University of Vermont for having such a good team to where they get to go and do these things and the tradition and the history that they have been building, and they are in the process of continuing to build. It's overwhelming sometimes, because you just sit back and think, yeah, I'm a little guy from Burlington, Vermont, who's in Lexington, Kentucky, going to sit down and call a game at Rupp Arena. Are you kidding me? You know, so it's just wild, and I'm really thankful, and I'm not going to lie to you. I'm excited for the game, but I'm more excited for practice today, to just go in there and be able to walk the building some more and just be around it. And it's just that part of me, to have that alone time and absorb the greatness of the venue is going to be special.
I know that you're a Dukie, and you were able to walk in to Cameron Indoor a couple years ago when UVM almost knocked them off. I mean, that was an unbelievable moment as well. Can you compare the two buildings at all?
It's so funny, because Cameron is so small, like in terms of capacity, and Rupp is huge. It's huge, and that's the biggest thing. The intimacy of Cameron, you know, you're right on top of each other. You got a little more room at Rupp, but they're both special in their own way. And you know, if you got a chance to play for either one of the programs, you got to be pretty good. So, you know, you'll figure it out.
Bernie, we talk about this basketball team all the time on our show here. You know that. We enjoy talking about this. But how good can this UVM team be?
You know, this team is sky's the limit. This team has the pieces to win a game in the NCAA tournament. This team, you know, has the experience, has the talent. You know, it's an unfair pressure to be put on them, but this team can do that. This team still needs to figure out their rotation, which is going to be fun with this game, and then the trip to the Bahamas that they have this week coming up, where they'll play three really good teams in that tournament. So figuring out the rotation, and going to need, who is that next guy, that fifth starter, and those people off the bench that are going to solidify this roster to making this season's success again.
Bernie, enjoy this weekend. Enjoy tomorrow. We'll be what I'm going to do is I'm going to put it on ESPN2,
yeah.
But I'm going to listen on the radio so you
I
hear
like
the man.
It.
Yeah, yeah, that's what you got to do.
They're actually on ESPN, and Jay Billis is doing the game.
Oh, yeah, hold on a minute. You're going to be sitting next to Jay Billis?
Maybe.
Oh, dude, you got to get me
that's
his autograph.
Awesome.
Get me Jay Billis' autograph, will you?
Like that. Also, can we start
a... I can't do that.
Of course you can. Just walk up and Bernie Siplicki. 101.3 ESPN. Hey, by the way, Jeff Paul wants your autograph.
Yeah, yeah.
No, actually, better than that, get him on the show, Bernie. Start
hey,
to do
yeah.
something for
there
the show.
Go.
Will you get? Hey, Jay, get some numbers down there. Get Calipari's number so we can get him on the show.
And in exchange, we'll start a Twitter "Get Bernie to the Bahamas" hashtag.
Exactly.
And see what we can do.
No,
for
no, that won't go over well,
well first
with
of
my
all,
wife.
And Bernie, and trust me, and Bernie.
What assignment is good enough for my birthday?
I was going to say, and Bernie's makeup is not Bahamas worthy.
Yeah, fair enough.
You know what I mean? Bernie likes a little chilly.
That's fair enough.
Okay,
yeah.
It's way too hot
that's
in Bahamas for Bernie.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Hey, Bernie, listen. Enjoy this weekend. I'm excited for you. I know you've been excited about this trip. Go Cats go, and we'll be watching tomorrow, buddy.
Thanks a lot, guys. Have a all great right, day, man.
I gotta tell you,
bye-bye. So happy for him. How cool is that?
First of all, as a good friend of mine, and I love Bernie Siplicki,
yeah.
Everybody knows that, I know how excited he is to be down there for this.
So
and,
cool.
And he's, I mean, and think about that for a minute. They're going to be on ESPN. I thought it was ESPN, too. They're going to be on ESPN.
Legit.
Jay Billis
yeah.
is calling the game. It's going to be, you know, the
I
big names
Billis,
are there.
The
I like Billis, too.
Yeah.
You know, he and Bernie's sitting there next to these guys.
He's a big TV star now.
That's a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, he was doing the game at Duke when UVM almost beat Duke a couple
right,
of years
right.
ago, if you remember that.
Yeah.
So great opportunity. And what a team this UVM. Let's put all that aside.
Should
what a great.
Great
team this UVM team is.
A lot of potential.
Ton of potential. If you have a chance to go watch this team play this year, you have to
do it. Yeah.
This isn't about like, hey, UVM, they're going to be decent in the American East. This team,
no,
I'm telling you,
year, yeah.
arguably, I mean, last year, it's that team last year was unbelievable.
Sure.
This team, they've got depth, they've got talent, they've got experience. And I'm telling you, from a mid-major team, this
yeah,
is one of the best.
Yeah, they got some real talent. Yeah.
This is one of the best mid-major teams in the country.
Agreed.
No question about it. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk Notre Dame football with the South Bend Tribune's Tyler James. Don't go anywhere.
Another day of sports talk in the Champlain Valley. It's Sports Saturday on 101.3 ESPN.
Oh, I love it. Don't stop. Okay, stop. We got plenty.
Good morning. It's Sports Saturday here on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. We were talking earlier with Sporting News' Bill Bender, Jake, about how special a day this could be in college football. There's so many implications
yeah.
could be happening. But none more, in my opinion, than what's happened in Miami as Notre Dame, the number 3rd-ranked team in the country, is heading down south to take on the U, the 7th-ranked team in the country, in a huge game. And who better to talk to than the South Bend Tribune's Tyler James. Good morning, Tyler. Good morning, buddy. What's happening?
Good morning. Glad to be with you guys.
So let's get right into this game. Exciting time here if you're an Irish fan. I think it's a surprise. For someone that covers the Irish as closely as you are you surprised at this turnaround this team's had?
Yeah, I would say to this extent, yes. I did expect a turnaround. I did expect an improved team. I think at the outlook, I predicted a 9-3 season. But to be this dramatic, to have such a commitment to the running game, has been the biggest shock because Brian Kelly's teams really haven't done that. And obviously, the defense has just been so much completely better with Mike Elko in his first year as a defensive coordinator. For forcing turnovers, preventing rushing touchdowns, all of those things have combined to make Notre Dame such a powerful team. And when you can run the ball like they do and prevent teams from scoring like they do, it's hard to argue with that recipe, and they've really, really maximized their potential with that.
Tyler, one of the things I think is interesting about this team is, to me, they should be undefeated because it looked like Brian Kelly just didn't trust Wimbush enough to put the ball in his hands to win that game against Georgia. And now all of a sudden, Wimbush looks like a seasoned veteran out there, and we talked about that running game. Did you see that same type of Brian Kelly early in the season, just wasn't quite trusting him enough early in the year?
You know, I actually think they maybe trusted Brandon too much. I think they maybe expected more from him than he was able to give them, at least in the passing game. I think Brandon hasn't really had any problems running, but in the passing game, he did have issues earlier, and he's kind of slowly progressed. I think... if you'd seen Brandon beforehand in practice, he looked really good. And I don't know that he really lived up to his potential early in the season as a thrower. And I think maybe Notre Dame was just a little bit overwhelmed in that environment with Georgia's defense, which was just so fast. And I think Notre Dame maybe even learned some things about how to play to its strengths better against a team with that kind of speed, I think they probably were better off running straight at Georgia rather than trying to run around them. And so I think it would be interesting to see how what they did learn from that game applies this week, because I think Miami's probably the only team that you can really compare in terms of speed defensively that Notre Dame's gone against besides Georgia.
How special is Josh Adams?
Josh is really special. He's an interesting kid, certainly one that's not in love with the idea of him being a Heisman candidate and all the hype that's been surrounding him and the promotional aspect of it, but really down-to-earth kid. He's really different. I mean, you don't really see many running backs like him with his size that run kind of upright like he does, but he's hard to take down. And with the offensive line that's blocking in front of him, he knows where to go, and he gets there quickly. And once he gets in the open field, he's hard to track down.
Talk to me about playoff ramifications. Notre Dame loses today, and I imagine they're pretty much just out of it. What does Miami still have a path? Is it possible that with an ACC championship, they get back in this thing? Where do you see each team headed after today's game?
Yeah, I do think it's kind of weird. Even though Notre Dame's the higher-ranked team and coming into this game, and maybe some people expect them to win, I think there's probably more pressure on Notre Dame to win, because if they do lose, you're right, they don't have anything else to play for in terms of the college ball playoff in all likelihood. Miami certainly would have a chance to win the ACC still, because this wouldn't affect that. Then I think there's a chance that, you never know, a one-loss ACC team could certainly get back into the college football playoff. So I do think that it's going to be – it's kind of weird. Notre Dame's been playing pretty much every week since the Georgia game, knowing that they can't lose another game to have a shot at the college football playoff. So they're kind of used to this pressure. And obviously Miami kind of felt that pressure last week and was able to win against Virginia Tech. And so I'm expecting quite the game tonight.
We are talking to the South Bend Tribune's Notre Dame insider Tyler James here on Sports Saturday, 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Tyler, Brian Kelly going into this year, I think it looked like he was in the hot seat. I mean, where do you think he stands now as far as what this team's doing?
Yeah, I think that he's in a comfortable spot now. I think Notre Dame really, although that he was in a tough spot, they really did support him in the fact that they really committed to offensive coordinator hires and defensive coordinator hires to support him. And despite all of what we would think that he's on a hot seat, Jack Swarbrick was very vocal in supporting him in the offseason that he wanted Brian Kelly to stay. And so, yeah, I think he's comfortable now certainly put himself in a position to not only be successful this year, but if everything keeps going well, to have the next couple of years successful, because this isn't necessarily an old team. They have a lot of young guys playing important roles right now. So if you can keep things rolling like they are, I think Notre Dame and Brian Kelly are both in a good spot.
The turnover chain has been the talk of the week. I'm not sure if I saw more turnover chain signs or Rudy was offside signs on College Game Day today. Both. I'm fine with both, lots of both. Do you think this Miami defense finds a way to really show up in a big way today?
It's going to be tough. I think they're going to have problems trying to stop Notre Dame's running game. I don't know that that's going to be easy for them, but I do think they'll probably try to find a way to force some turnovers. They're good at forcing turnovers, but Notre Dame's been pretty good at protecting the ball. They haven't turned the ball over since the North Carolina game, and that was when Ian Book was playing, the backup quarterback, and he had two interceptions. So Brandon Wimbush hasn't had a turnover since the Michigan State game.
Right.
So it's been some time since for Notre Dame that's been able to turn the ball over. So it's going to be a matter of who can kind of protect the ball better, I think, this week, and that'll probably determine the outcome.
One of the best things I saw from game day this morning was the touchdown Jesus that was holding up the U.
The U.
It creates the U.
Yeah.
Talk about a slap in the face. That should make Irish fans mad all over the place. That's just terrible.
Yeah.
How big a deal is it for this rivalry? I can remember I grew up, I'm my early 40s, so the late 80s and early 90s was a great time to be a college football fan. If you were a Notre Dame fan or a Miami fan, it was a lot of fun. It's a huge rivalry. How important for college football is this rivalry if it could rehash itself?
Yeah, I think it's really important. I think it has a cool history, and that always helps rivalries. And Notre Dame and Miami recruit a lot of the same guys out of Florida. So there's guys like this year, RJ McIntosh, who plays defensive line for Miami, and his younger brother, Dion, is a running back at Notre Dame, and they have a younger brother, Kenny, that's being recruited by both teams. So there's a little bit of a family situation there. So a lot of these guys had Miami offers that are at Notre Dame and some vice versa. So I think it would be good for college football to have something like this happen. I don't know that we're going to get it on a yearly basis because Notre Dame has so many other quote-unquote rivalries that they try to keep intact. But to be able to play Miami once every few years I think would be important, and especially if both teams can play at the level that they're playing at right now.
Tyler, there's been a debate for a long time about Notre Dame's schedule. They're an independent. They don't play in a conference. Do you think that helps them, or do you think that's a detriment to them?
I think I don't know that it helps them really in any way. I think it does help them that they can make a schedule that is equal or better than some of the conference teams. They don't have to play the lower ranked conference teams in the conference, although they will get assigned some of with their five ACC games, they will get assigned some of the lower ranked teams in the ACC on a yearly basis sometimes. But they can make sure that they're playing tough competition. Bringing in schools like Georgia to play against them in a home-and-home series. They got Ohio State scheduled in the future. Obviously, Michigan will be back on the schedule next year. So I think it helps them that they have that flexibility, but it does hurt them in ways that they don't have a conference championship game, obviously, and that is something that can obviously aid someone in getting into the college football playoff. And it sort of puts more pressure on them throughout the season, I think, because you never know if one loss is going to be enough to kind of eliminate them from the playoff conversation.
And that's what my argument is to people that say, well, Notre Dame's schedule, they don't have to play in a conference. But to me, Notre Dame's schedule is tougher than, I would say it's tougher than Alabama's schedule. I would say it's tougher than Clemson's schedule. I would say the Notre Dame schedules more big-time teams than any other team in the country. And you're absolutely right, Tyler, by saying that there is no conference championship that you can kind of remedy a loss early in the season with. So to me, it's a detriment to Notre Dame, and it's a benefit if Notre Dame can do what they're doing right now, and it kind of shows that they do belong in the playoff conversation. Am I correct?
Yeah, I think so. It's kind of all or nothing situation for Notre Dame. If they're able to win against all the teams that they put on their schedule, they're going to be in that college football playoff hunt. I think it's going to be hard to hold an undefeated team, Notre Dame team, out of the playoff ever, and certainly maybe even sometimes a one-loss team out of the playoffs, just because, and certainly some of it's happenstance. If you're playing some programs that are traditionally good, certainly they've had Miami on the schedule before, but Miami hasn't been itself in previous years. So, but this year, this game really matters. So some of it is happenstance of whether or not the programs you expect to be good to remain good by the time you play them. But I think that it all kind of sorts itself out, and Notre Dame's always going to have a chance to be in the playoffs if they go through with an undefeated season or a one-loss season.
Do you expect tonight to be a close game?
I do expect it to be a close game. I think I think it's going to be a tough one for Notre Dame to win. I do think that Notre Dame will be able to come out on the winning end, but it's going to challenge them, and I think Brandon Wimbush is going to have a big night, and the defense is going to have to keep Miami in check and be able to force some turnovers and win the turnover margin tonight.
Tyler James, South Bend Tribune. Thanks, buddy, for the time. We'll talk to you down the road.
All right, thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Interesting conversation from a guy that knows the team. And, yeah. And again, you know, Notre Dame, where they've come from last year, which was an absolute embarrassment
amazing,
last season.
Yeah.
It really is amazing where they've come. It's,
the up and down's pretty crazy. I mean, to be in a national championship game just a couple years ago and then to fall off the cliff with
But so much drama with Notre Dame.
Yeah.
You remember Everett Golson?
Yeah,
I mean, you know,
of course.
They go to a national championship against Alabama, get blown out, and then Golson is kind of hurt, and he's transferring, and they bring in Zaire. He gets hurt, then they bring, you know, it's been kind of a weird,
odd.
A lot
yeah.
of good athletes at the quarterback position,
sure.
But you bring in this kid Brandon Wimbush, who comes in as kind of an unknown. He's really solidified this offense, and they've
done.
Got this running game that's phenomenal. If you haven't seen Josh Adams run yet, this kid is a beast. He is
absolutely
unbelievably talented, strong, fast. He's the whole package. People are talking about him for the Heisman Trophy all of a sudden. You got an offensive
this
line that's protected.
Sure.
It really could be.
Yeah.
And then the defense is what I think is so impressive. This defense last year was Swiss cheese.
Not good.
You know, and this defense now can play with anybody in the country. However, last week, one of the things that you got to look at that I didn't like last week about Notre Dame was they had a big lead against Wake Forest, but Wake Forest ran the ball against them,
yep.
Which is something that nobody's done all year against Notre Dame. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in Miami. But listen, there's no question going down to Miami to play an undefeated Miami Hurricane team. All that history down there, the rivalry.
Crazy.
It's
going to
be intense. There's no question about it. But 8 o'clock tonight on ABC, you can check that game out.
And the best fight song there is.
No, Miami's?
No.
Notre Dame's?
Well,
oh, Notre
Dame, of course.
Oh, my God. I love that
just
fight
love
song.
It.
I mean,
yeah.
They're That fight song's a great one. Michigan's fight song's a great
one.
Funny
you say that. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing. That's another one that Michigan, you know, Notre Dame for me. Yeah.
And they're very similar.
Yeah.
You know, like I'll find myself, you know,
It happens.
Fight song. That is a Notre Dame fight song is great. Definitely gets you fired up. Unless you hate Notre Dame, then you hate.
Then
that
not
song.
As much. But
yeah, I'm a Virginia basketball fan. I'm not in love with their fight song.
No, not so good. Yeah, I'm not a huge Notre Dame guy. My granddad liked Michigan and Notre Dame. And I just that'll stick with me.
Wait, he liked them both?
How about that?
How does that happen?
I don't know.
He must be a very kind man.
From Michigan, and then. Somehow Notre Dame got in there. So.
Yeah, that's well. Notre
maybe
Dame,
he hated them, and I just remember seeing them on TV.
Maybe that's what it is.
I don't know.
And I know people do. Like I grew up, my father was supposed to be. He. Well, long story short, he almost went to Notre Dame. I have two cousins that graduated from Notre Dame. Actually, one of my cousins got married in the Basilica at Notre Dame.
Oh wow,
which was unbelievable.
That's
what a that's
Notre
some
Dame,
campus.
Yeah.
That Notre Dame campus is great. So we were hanging out down there. But I've always been a big, you know, and just the aura of what Notre Dame is, and it's fun to see as a fan of them that they're back, kind of prevalent again. And I think, like I said, I think it's good for programs like that to be big time. But I also would like to see USC come back a little bit, which we thought was going to happen. I would have liked, I'd like to see Florida come back a little bit back in the National Football. Texas, schools like that.
Speaking of game day signs, someone had a sign that said UF versus FSU in November 12th, and it said on Nickelodeon.
I'm going to tell you something.
And I was like, I like it.
There is some, that's better than the show, those signs. That's why, that's the reason I tune in, is I want to see those signs.
Yeah.
And I like Corso. I like to see whose head he puts on his head. See who's going to win. All right, we're going to take a quick break. Can you believe the show's over?
Almost over. Yeah, this is it.
Good news for the people listening. And bad news for us three.
Agreed.
You know what I mean?
And Rudy was offsides.
Nah, come on.
Just saying.
Give me a break. Rudy's a man. You know the guy that played Rudy? What was his name?
I'm going to forget, but he also played the Hobbit.
Yeah, he's a Hobbit. And all that. I bumped into him in the Rutland Mall back in like 1996 or something.
Oh, wow.
I walked right by him.
You talked
Rudy?
About Stranger Things last week. He's in Stranger Things 2.
Dude, I haven't seen
season.
That show.
Second season.
I heard that's a good show.
Worth watching.
Nothing's like my Walking Dead, though, man.
I know you like
that Walking Dead stresses
You're
me
like
out.
You're like seven seasons
it
too late.
It stresses me out, my boy Rick, Daryl.
Yeah.
And what's the guy with the stick? I love that guy.
I'm going to forget his name.
Oh, come on. What's his name?
John Holmes.
I don't know who that is.
I do, and you're gross. We'll be right back.
Wimbush takes it himself. Running up the middle of the field. He's on the way. All the way home. He's gone. Touchdown, Notre Dame. 50-yard touchdown run by the remarkable Brandon Wimbush.
This is Sports Talk for the Champlain Valley. Online at 1013ESPN.com and on your FM at 1013ESPN.
Already.
This is Sports Saturday with Jeff Paul and Bernie Siplicki.
I'm just very, very sorry that it's come to this. I mean, it's just terrible.
Another week has gone by. Jake, thanks so much for filling in, buddy. You're a lot like Alex Abrami and Austin Danforth with your knowledge. So you're dropping knowledge and stats. I'm like, oh my God, I'm embarrassed. I don't know any of this. And I'm the host of this show.
Well,
that's crazy.
You're great too, Jeff.
I'm far from great. I'm very average.
Dave has been knocking it out of the park. These buffer pieces, I love all of them.
Oh,
they're hilarious.
I am
First of
good.
I don't even know what a buffer is.
Listen to him.
I know.
The intro and outro. It buffers the break to the show.
Right? Oh, those things. Oh, yeah. Dave's good at those.
Bumpers. Bumpers.
I like buffers.
Not buffer. Bumper.
I'm going to stick with buffer.
Okay.
I know Michael Buffer.
And I'm gonna go do some Christmas shopping today.
Are you going? You're going
music.
Christmas shopping today?
I'm offended.
We need decorations.
Okay, get into that. I get that. Are you gonna do the blow up things? The blow up?
I don't know. Things? We're a little more classic than that, probably. But
oh, come on now, dude. There's got to get one or two of those. You got a yard
maybe like
now.
Like a giant Frosty.
If my wife would let me, man, I would have one of those big snow globe things out there with like the carousel going
I kinda
around.
Like those ones,
maybe I get a big giant Sasquatch dressed as Santa Claus. Whatever. Take a Chewbacca, maybe
now,
a stormtrooper.
My wife would let me do Star Wars themed Christmas.
There you go. Get some of
that
big Chewbacca.
We were Star Wars Halloween, so we might as well do Star Wars Christmas.
Tis the season, baby.
World be a better place with more blowing.
Let's do it.
Thanks for joining the show today, guys. I want to thank Bill Bender from Sporting News. He joined us to talk college football with him. Austin Danforth and Alex Abrami are both right now at the high school championships games at Rutland High School. Thanks, Bernie. Called us from Rupp Arena in Kentucky as UVM gets ready.
Awesome.
And listen, tune in here tomorrow, 3 o'clock, 101.3 ESPN as UVM and Kentucky play. 3 o'clock. Bernie's calling that game.
You might hear Jay Billis.
Yeah, right. And then finally, Taylor James of the South Bend Tribune. Big game for the Irish tonight, obviously. A huge
game.
It's
going to be a lot of fun.
National championship contention stuff for both teams. Jake, thanks so much, seriously.
You're welcome.
With all
thanks
seriously.
For
great job.
Me.
Great job with the fantasy stuff. Guys, we are Sports Saturday. We're here every Saturday from 10 to noon on 101.3 ESPN and 101.3ESPN.com. Remember our podcast. You can get that all week long if you go to 101.3ESPN.com. You can upload every interview we've done. You can hear us talk again.
Get Garrett Selleck at tight end.
Yeah, oh, there you go.
Get your advice.
You can get annoyed again by listening to my voice again. You can listen to it again. The only one that loves it is my wife and my mom.
That's all you need,
man. And that's all it is. The two best girls in my life. You know what I mean?
That's it.
All right, guys. Have a great weekend. Happy Veterans Day weekend to all the vets out there. We love you. We'll see you next week. We're Sports Saturday. Have a great weekend.
WCPB, Essex, Burlington, Plattsburgh.
Hi, this is Sam Hyman, the voice of the UVM men's basketball team, and this is your home for Catamount Basketball, 101.3 ESPN.